got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Want to hear about what your phone might have survived.
Okay.
Maybe you dropped it in some water. Maybe you've left it out somewhere. What did it actually survive? Because there is a new phone on the market, a new smart device that is not a Samsung, not an Apple.
Is it a Huawei?
It isn't a Huawei.
I still don't know if I pronounced that right. It can't be right.
When I tell you, think of the most durable phone that could never break. What brand do you think of?
Nokia.
Nokia have released a new updated smartphone,
yeah,
and they are calling it the most durable smartphone on the market.
Great. The first phone I ever had was I can't remember exactly, but it was a Nokia.
I had a 3310.
Right. It was, I don't know any of the numbers and what they look like, but it was a big yellow brick that had a literal pull-out antenna. That was
stunning.
The first phone I had.
Wow. Yeah. You are old.
Okay.
No, the Nokia XR21, they're saying that it can survive harsh landings on concrete, tumbles down flights of stairs, and even being frozen in a block of ice. Sometimes I just look at my iPhone, Tim.
And screen cracks.
Literally. I don't understand how a phone could be
it
this durable.
It looks so neat.
Yeah.
That's really cool looking.
A very cool looking phone. Like a traditional, think of like, you know, your standard kind of Android smartphone.
Yeah, it looks like that.
This is what it looks like. But like they're showing people literally like pouring water.
Yeah, that's the first photo that I've seen.
All over it. And apparently it absolutely worked. And only $799. Which is pretty good for a smartphone.
Still so much money, isn't it?
When you compare it to like a $2,000 iPhone, though.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
But 52232955, what has your phone survived? Because I remember leaving my 3310 outside in the backyard when I was like 15 years old.
In the sun.
In the sun. And then it rained overnight. And I put her in some rice. Good as new the next day. Good as new the next day, Timmy.
Rice has saved more technology than I think. those phone guys that you always see in the middle of the supermarket. they go, oh, yeah, we cross-patched it. We did this. No, they didn't. They've got a bucket of rice under the desk, and that's what they do. It's great because, whether it's same with like the old iPods. Sorry,
yes.
That I had an iPod.
The classic.
It survived.
You had a classic.
It survived three washes in a washing machine. Rice to the rescue yet again. Fantastic.
52232955. What did your phone survive?
Caleb from Thompson has given us a call. Caleb, what did your phone survive?
So I reckon it would have been about two months ago. My boss ran over his phone, smashed it to bits.
Oh.
And then the next day after the second day or something like that, jump out of his car to open up the gates and my phone's fallen out of my pocket and he rolls over my phone.
No!
Perfect. Nothing
wrong
with it.
Perfectly fine. Just put the phones in the center console. You and your boss, stop letting them slip out of your pockets, Caleb.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you have the same phone, Caleb, or...?
No, I've got an iPhone and he's got an Android.
Okay. Finally settling that once and for all.
There you go. Joe is in Marshall's giving us a call as well. Joe, what did your phone survive?
Into pumpkin soup. I made some pumpkin soup and went to take a photo of it and I dropped my phone in.
No! did it survive, Joe?
It did survive. I don't know how, but it was a bit sticky to get out of.
What a great photo, though.
Yeah. Imagine if it was a video, Joe, and you just see that orange goo encase the camera.
That was pretty funny.
Wow. What did you do?
Well, I wasn't
laughing
at the time.
No. Did you just kind of pull it out as quickly as you can? Like, was the soup boiling?
No. Thankfully, it wasn't hot. It was just sort of like in those meal prep containers.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I was on notes. I was sending photos to Sam Powell, you know, look at my big meal prep. And then I dropped it in the soup. And then, lucky I quickly pulled it out. But
do you rinse it or just wipe it down?
I just wiped it down. And then hubby's IT, he told me what to not to do. So,
obviously you got some bread and butter and you put it all over it because that makes any soup better, Joe. So very, very clever.
Tom in Geelong. Tom, your dad had his mobile survive the most incredible thing.
I went off the back of his tractor one day when he was mowing on a Sunday into one of those industrial-sized mower blades.
Great.
It was an old Nokia, and it launched it across the paddock into the next acre. We found it 2 days later. Still functional, still got battery, still working. And then when I started year seven, that was the phone you gave me, and it lasted through my high school.
If it can last being flung an acre by a tractor blade and survive that, yeah, that is a good first sign. Quick question, was it a Massey Ferguson? What tractor are you talking here? This is my good stuff, if you don't mind me asking there, Tom.
No, it was just a Kubota with an oversized flasher blade on the back.
Oh, so
yeah.
Good.
We all know what this means.
Tractor jet.
We're all together.
We need to do more tractor jet on the show. That was incredible.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Jess, I think it was late last week.
Mm-hmm.
I asked if I could inquire about forming my own conspiracy theory on the show.
And this show loves a conspiracy theory, Tim.
Obviously, we like to jump on conspiracy theories that we hear, but we've never been able to formalize one. The one that I had was I saw news of Oak, the milk company, Kill Hungry Thirsty Dead.
Yes.
They have standard flavors, and they were introducing, they're like, hey, we have this new flavor, Rainbow Paddle Pop. We're really excited about it. It's brand new. It's for you. It's going to be hitting shelves soon. I and you both know that rainbow-flavored paddle pops...
just caramel.
...masquerade as caramel.
Yeah.
Oak had a...
is it lovely?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oak had a failed caramel line of flavored milk a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They released it to low fanfare and then took it off their shelves. That was the conspiracy theory that I brought to the
and
show.
And I said to you, Tim, I'm going to use my journalism degree.
Finally.
And reach out to the company that is Oak Milk. It turns out Oak Milk is owned by a parent company, Lactalis.
All right. Well, I just need to set the scene because you've done a lot of work. So
thank you.
Let's get into it.
So I reached out to Lactalis and basically gave them the rundown. Yeah. Hey, name's Tim and Jess. We've uncovered your dirty little secret.
Yeah.
We know that you've just rebranded your caramel milk from Oak into Paddle Pop Rainbow flavor. And this is the message I received back from them. I
printed it out. Wow-wee.
Yeah, I knew this was important to you, so I thought I'd make it special. So, Oak Milk, I sent it to Lactalis.
Lactates or us.
They said, hi, Jess. This is from Kieran. Hi, Jess. Thanks for touching base. The Lactalis team referred your message onto us as we're the PR agency that looks after Oak. This has gone through four people.
Great.
The Oak Rainbow Paddle Pop recipe was made especially for the collaboration with Streets and as such delivers a unique flavor that perfectly matches the taste of Rainbow Paddle Pop. Hope this clears things up for you. Kind regards, Kieran.
That does not clear things up for us because you're just saying, so it's, yes, it is.
Well, what
they're saying, we've got another caramel flavor.
It's implying that, yes, they had their caramel flavor and then they've gone and they've made a new caramel flavor that is based perfectly on the Rainbow Paddle Pop.
But that's caramel, Jess.
Do you believe them that they've gone and made a new caramel?
No, they're just using the big money branding of Rainbow Paddle Pop.
Mm.
They didn't deny or confirm anything, which makes me lead to believe dirty dogs gonna stay muddy.
I think the next step in this investigation, Tim, is we get our hands on some Rainbow Paddle Pops and the
down.
Oak milk, and we do a taste test. If they taste exactly the same, we know that they've made a new recipe. If they taste like two different caramels, I think we've caught them red-handed.
I just want to protect people that listen to this show to not be tricked by big marketing from Lactates or Us. And I don't think that people from Geelong, Surf Coast, Bellarine Peninsula deserve to be lied to.
When is the Rainbow Paddle Pop Oak Milk available?
I blacked out in a fit of rage. So I don't have the specific details. It's coming to shelves soon.
Once it's available, I think we do a taste test and see if they've lied straight to our email.
I can't believe how deep this is going in.
Yeah.
This is wild.
A cover-up, Tim. Who knew?
This is what makes you feel alive. In all honesty, this is the best part of my week. Whistling the way home,
listening to something. All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
If you are walking around, find your local bench. If you are driving, Maybe pull over to the side of the road.
Wow.
If you are at work, resign. This is the most important question that you will ever be asked. And I need
I did just get asked, like proposed to last week.
So I know.
That was a pretty important question.
I know. This is the thing. I want everyone to take this very seriously.
Okay.
And not react quickly. Sit, think, and then express yourself.
Hit me.
Do trees live underground and use the above ground as a snorkel? Or do they live above ground and wear the earth like shoes?
I have a thought. I believe that their trunks are feet and they wear the earth like shoes.
Do you mean the roots?
Yes.
Because trunks...
Trunks
common,
is their body.
Commonly...
Trunk is the body.
Yes.
Yes. And they're all like up above the ground doing their thing. They're mostly just wedged in the ground.
Okay.
Although, to play devil's advocate here, you could say that they most of their like their system, their ecosystem is underground. So is that their main part of the body? And they just come up for air with their little tree trunks?
Yes.
I can see that side too, Tim. This is a conundrum.
I told you.
Oh.
And you kept going, I don't know, someone asked me to marry them the other day, and that was pretty important. Can you understand the dilemma that I'm in?
Yeah.
Because initially I go, all right, how does a tree live?
Mm.
Can it live without one or the other? It can suffer without oxygen and die.
Yes.
If you pull a tree out of the earth, its roots have no nutrients to get from the rich soil. It will also die. It needs to live in both sides.
But if you take plants and put them in water, they will still live.
Some, yes.
Most,
no.
But, you know, then they're just wearing water as shoes.
Because I'm leaning towards that they live underground and use the top of the earth as a snorkel.
Sure.
So they're getting most of their nutrients from the earth and then, yeah, a bit of oxygen.
You don't think earth shoes?
No. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5, get in on this. This hot topic of the day.
It's a conundrum.
Do trees live underground or do they live above ground?
Because my initial thought was definitely that they live above ground.
Because let's use a carrot as an example. I know it's not a tree. But if you look
it's
at a carrot...
It's definitely not a tree.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't think we need Dr. Carl on the show to say carrot isn't a tree. But initially, say if you didn't know what a carrot was and you saw something growing out of the ground, you would just see like a little small bit of greenery popping up.
Sure.
And then lo and behold, wowee, look what you've pulled out of the earth. So it lived in the ground to thrive above ground.
Right. What about a wattle tree?
I think we should just keep it open to trees.
Sure.
5-2. 2-3-2. And I'm sorry to put this on you. It's a lot to put
it's
on
a heavy
you
question.
On a Monday morning. Do trees live underground and use the above ground as a snorkel? Or do they live above ground and wear the earth like shoes? I only want scientific answers. I don't want quick, angry reactions. That's not what this show's about. And I know... That probably is a lie that I've just said. But I want some well thought out answers here. Do trees live above ground or below ground?
Even if your brain's just hurting and you want to talk it out right now.
Ashley in Warren Ponds. Of course you want to get in on this. When it comes to trees, do they live above ground or do they live below ground?
Above.
Above ground.
Now,
earth is shoes.
Now, Ashley... I did specify I didn't want anyone to rush into their answer. And you've gone very quickly.
You've sprinted into it, Ashley.
This is a marathon, not a sprint. So tell us you're working out, please.
Well, I think the root of the tree are the feet. The trunk is like the body. And the leaves are like the hair.
But are we assuming that trees have the same anatomy as human beings there, Ashley?
I am.
Okay. If a horticulturist is listening or a botanist, this
does that mean the heart's in the roots or in the trunk? Like, where's the heart of the tree?
Well, if we're using Ashley's anatomy, it would be in the trunk.
Right.
Because I don't know about you, but my heart isn't in my ankle.
Sure. Yep.
And again...
But, like, where is the actual tree? Like, where's... Is there a heart in a tree? Or no? No hearts?
A tree is not a mammal.
Yes, I'm aware.
Or an insect, for that matter. I thought, just in case you come back at me with that.
Ashley, come on, support me here, mate.
The heart... Well, I would say the heart is in the trunk.
In the trunk? You did ask for well, scientists.
This is not... No, we're leaning... So, because I feel like the tree gets more nutrients from the earth than it does from than oxygen and rain. Because when the rain comes down, yeah, it's hitting the leaves, it's hitting the branches.
I thought the tree was making oxygen.
Yes, Jess. Thank you for...
So it doesn't need the oxygen, it's making it.
Oh, if you cut off oxygen to a tree, she's not going to be happy.
Really?
Yeah. You know how all your houseplants in that room that you never go into die? That could help. That could
help.
How
dare you?
Ashley, this is my problem when we get to these questions. Because now Jess has asked, she's going to ask where the spleen of a tree is in a moment. And then she's going to ask, can trees get kidney stones? And I don't know if I've got it in me on a Monday. And I know I've brought it to
you
the show.
You started it.
Yeah, but I think you might have been watching too much Grey's Anatomy.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. Again, sorry to drop it on everyone on a Monday.
Think about it. Hit us up throughout the week.
I haven't slept, so someone else help me, please.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Jess, we're just going to have a bit of a chat. I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, and it may or may not determine if you have psychopathic traits.
Sure. Yep. So you're saying that someone on this show is a psychopath?
Well, yeah. So, look, we'll just get straight into it. And
okay.
If you're listening,
Five
questions. If you're listening, maybe either think about yourself or think about a loved one in your life. And let's just kind of, let's get through it.
Hit me.
Okay. If, Jess, do you mainly talk about food, money, or sex?
Oh, I'm going to say food.
No. All three of them.
What do you mean?
Do you mainly talk about food, money, and sex?
Yes.
Okay. Bad start.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So apparently most people enjoy a chat about this, but psychopaths take it to another level.
Are you talking about how I describe when I like describe a meal that I've made?
And the meal that you've had,
okay.
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
Are you less likely to yawn contagiously?
Yeah, no, I don't really yawn contagiously.
All right.
Like sometimes, but not every time.
Okay. All right. This is it, cool.
Do you?
Do you have, I would say I'm a big yawner.
Sure.
Do you have increased hand gestures? Like, would you speak with your hands a lot?
Well, that's because I'm a wog, not because I'm a psychopath.
Can I just say, when you talk about food, you have these food hands.
Yeah,
and you
my
go,
claws come
you
out.
Yes, I just got a ganache sauce and I just, you know, I just put it in the bake 2 hours and then, you know... You
okay.
Do these little mousy
right.
Hands. So, all right, 3 from 3. Jess, do you have unusual sleeping habits?
Just because I sleep a lot, that's not unusual.
Yes,
it
is. You sleep 4 hours more than the recommended average. And Jess, would you say you have limited head movements?
What do you mean?
So, like, kind of quick looking around, all those kind of things. Because you are a frantic person, I'll say.
I'm not frantic.
All right, sounds like it.
I don't think I'm... Okay.
5 out of 5.
I don't think
if
I moved this was my head around frantically.
If this was a basketball game and you made 5 shots and they all went in, Jess, we'd all be patting you on the back
okay.
Saying, yeah, what a superstar.
When I'm walking down the street, my head does not move. I walk straight ahead. I don't see anything else around
no,
me.
No, when you're in... Like, say if you're at... I've watched you at your house when you... Again, it always comes back to cooking. It's always... Where's the onions? Where's the... Potatoes.
Okay. Well, yeah,
Akshay! Akshay! My fiancé! Where's my fiancé? Akshay!
I defend myself on that.
You're like a chicken in my backyard.
So how do they know that these are the things that a psychopath makes?
Well, they were saying that the people that have these traits are 9 times more likely to have, like, you know, psychotic episodes or be psychopaths and... See, a fun game. We had a fun game on the radio. Everyone's feeling good. I answered them. I got 0 out of 5.
You so. Did not.
Okay. Hand gestures. No, my hands are down by my side. Unusual sleeping habits. I sleep normal. Limited head movements. I've got a sore neck all the time. Come on, Jess. You know what? I talk about food, sex, and money. Fine. I don't have any of those things to talk about.
Well, I'm the psychopath of the team, I guess.
See, it was the tone of how you said it, but I agree with the words that you said. All right. It's Tim and Crazy Jess. Rock 955.
Look out.
What's going to happen next?
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Tim, I know we've gone from one very important question to another, but at the moment, as we are, you know, in the midst of our Winter Warmers campaign with Cottage by the Sea, we have been smashing a lot of pies. Yep. Some Routley's pies.
Routley's, Sam and the team are absolute superstars. $5 from Emily. Any family cottage pie or meat pie goes straight to Winter Warmers, which is run by Cottage by the Sea, who do incredible work for lots of kids, not just from town, but right across the country as well.
And so I've been eating a lot of extra pies over the weekend. You can blame me.
Some people say to me, I don't think Jess is committed to this job. I asked them to go into the bathroom after you at the moment. Your pies have been, mate, they've been running through me just like they've been running through you. No one can question your commitment to the Winter Warmers campaign right now.
I do want to talk about, because over the weekend, not just you and I have been talking about pies.
Mate, I know what you're going to say. It's wild.
The internet have been going wild over an American food blogger who went to like the Vic Markets in Melbourne.
Is this the South Melbourne Markets?
Maybe the South Melbourne Markets, yeah. And he got himself an Australian classic.
It's huge, this pie.
A meat pie, right? And he said in his video, he's done this video that's gone viral because for all the wrong reasons, because he eats his pie really weird. So he says, what you have to do, he's telling all of his followers, you have to squeeze sauce all over the top, take the pie, put it in your mouth. You have to burn your mouth.
Pretty much, it starts out okay. He's got it in the right position. Like a standard, I'm not sitting down to eat this pie, holding it. He starts okay. He tries to take a big bite. And then what I need you to picture is, say you've finished a can of soft drink, and then at the end you crush the can.
Yes!
That's what he does with the pie. And it just goes everywhere.
He said, take as big a bite as possible. You're actually hoping for it to burn your mouth. That's the dream. That's the dream.
That's not the dream, compadre.
Are you kidding me? See, I'm a person who I don't like tomato sauce.
All over the top?
I don't like tomato sauce at all. I raw dog a pie. I'll go straight.
Okay. Because what I prefer, if I'm eating a straight pie, I will start.
Not a dirty street pie.
I will start exactly how he starts. I won't put the sauce on the lid of the pie.
Right.
I will take one bite, holding it up, and then I will slowly use the sauce.
Well, that's the other thing. He kept it horizontal. Like, I go vertical. I eat it like a sandwich.
Yeah.
52232955. Whether you've gotten yourself a Routley's pie this weekend and done your bit for the Cottage by the Sea or not, want to hear about how you eat your pie.
Because there's different...
What's your method?
You can do it different ways. If I'm in the comfort of my own home...
You have an obnoxious method.
I don't think it's that bad. I think I get my knife and I take the lid off. I then use it almost like a soup and I dip the lid into the meat pie or whatever it is and I eat that. And then I'll get like a little spoon or a knife and fork and I'll eat the meat out of it. And then at the end, I've got like a nice meaty pastry that I just...
So weird.
But that's in the privacy of my own abode.
52232955. How do you eat your meat pie?
Because you don't think that's an acceptable way to eat a meat pie?
It's very weird. Like, why deconstruct it? Just eat the whole thing. That's the whole point of the pie. It's a little parcel. Hold it like a sandwich. Have a nosh.
Geez, sorry I brought it up. I didn't realize this is such a passionate point of yours. 52232955. Is there a correct way and an incorrect way to eat a meat pie? We need to know. Craig and Summer from Ocean Grove have given us a call. How do you eat your pies?
Hey, guys. We do exactly the same. Deconstruct it, take the lid off, put a lot of sauce in it, eat the meat first before finishing off with the pastry.
I don't get why do you need to take the lid off? Like, why not leave it as a nice little neat package?
I think individually both are nicer. I think the pastry is the nicest bit. If the pie is not that great, and obviously Routley's isn't one of those, but if the pie is not great, then the pastry just finishes it off nicely.
Now, does your daughter Summer also eat it this way, Craig?
She does, yeah. She's in the car with me now. She made me ring up.
Summer, it's a nice way to eat a pie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Craig, when you say if you're eating a street pie like we were talking about earlier, do you hold it like a sandwich and eat it from the top and then put sauce gradually on as you take bites as well?
Oh, it really depends on where you are. If you've got somewhere to sit, yeah, we'd still take the lid off and do it that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
It really it's almost like a standard stuffed taco at that point.
Yeah, that's actually a very great reference, Jess. Thank you very much. Kelly in Grovedale's giving us a call. Kelly, what do you think? How do you eat your pie?
Pretty much similar to what you do, Tim, but I put a little bit of sauce on the top and then I cut the pastry off and I eat the pastry. Then I put a bit of sauce in the middle and I eat all that with a fork.
You mix it in. Yeah, you mix the sauce and beef in, don't you, Kelly?
Wow, Kelly, you are keeping the tomato sauce industry in business at this point, aren't you?
But not a lot of tomato sauce, but just enough. But stupid me, I bought in Pie Day Friday at work and sat there and ate a pie in front of everyone at work and they just looked at me like I was an alien.
Yeah, that's why I kept saying the privacy of my own.
I can't do it. I have to eat it that way.
Kelly, while we're talking about the whole pie theory and sauce as well, can I give you a bit of a sauce tip? Now, this might be not the first time you've heard it.
Oh, saucy tip.
But it's not about quantity of sauce. It's about quality and keeping in your house. What I like to do is I buy a small bottle and then I'll take the twisty lid off that and put it on the 2 litre bottle of sauce and then I use the 2 litre bottle of sauce as my squeezy boy.
Okay. All right. That's a little bit over the top.
It is, Kelly, isn't it? Well, Kelly's all of a sudden Kelly, disagreeing with you.
I really thought we were kindred spirits, but it seems to not be the case. All right. Michelle has given us a call as well. Michelle, how do you eat a pie?
I fully agree with you, Tim. Take the top off, put the sauce in, munch it away when you're at home.
That is the Australian way to do it. Maybe I'm too ethnic for this.
Yeah, but then when you're out in public, just straight out of the bag, however you like. My daughter, however, she cuts the top off, then puts grated cheese in, puts the top back on and munches away with a bit of sauce on top.
Oh, Michelle.
All right, now that's just
you've just changed the game.
That's just not on. We can't be putting that to air, Jess. I'm almost going to press the swearing button.
Guys, you're the best!
Good buddy. Tim and Jess. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.